Welcome back. This is Barbara Ridenour with the Decatur Herald and Review, dated Friday, May 8th, 2020. We'll continue with the obituaries. Robert Alton Bob Underwood, 88, died on Monday, May 4th, 2020. Visitation is at 10 a.m. and memorial services are 11 a.m. Monday, May 11, 2020 at Moran and Goble Funeral Home in Decatur. Interment at Camp Butler National Cemetery in Springfield. A celebration service is being discussed for summer 2020. You may view the live stream of the service at 11 a.m. Monday, May 11th at http://webcast.funeralrecording. Event number is 29040. Password Underwood. Again, you can view the service on Monday, May 11th at 11 a.m. at webcast.funeralrecording. Event number 29040. Password Underwood. Barbara E. Wafflard, 84, of Bement, died on Tuesday, May 5th, 2020. Memorial services will be held at a later date at the First Christian Church of Bement with burial in the Bement Township Cemetery. Due to the circumstances with the COVID-19 pandemic, the family is graciously abiding with the suggestions set forth. Memorial contributions can be made to First Christian Church of Bement or the OSF Hospice Program. Now let's turn to the opinion page and continue with letters to the editor. Consider homeless during COVID-19. Individuals experiencing homelessness may face many challenges. Homeless individuals often struggle to secure basic psychological needs, including food, shelter, etc. According to Maslow's hierarchy of needs, those who are unable to obtain these basic physiological needs struggle to secure other needs as well. COVID-19 has made this even more challenging. The ways we've been instructed to protect ourselves from COVID-19, such as social distancing, hand washing, and PPE, are complicated when it comes to those experiencing homelessness. The lack of resources and the limitations of their environment make this challenging and unrealistic. Many of us are able to stay home to ensure our safety. During this time, it is important to think about those who lack this privilege. According to HUD, in 2019, there were 567,715 individuals facing homelessness in the United States. Those experiencing homelessness are among the most vulnerable of the population. Supporting, protecting, and advocating for vulnerable populations is something helping professionals are always doing. However, during a global pandemic, doing this is even more important. Ending homelessness is simple. One solution, the Housing First model, places individuals into housing prior to meeting other requirements. Housing First promotes the importance of housing individuals first in order to assist them in becoming successful in other areas of their lives. Housing First is an evidence-based practice, and data shows that it works. This solution is not easy. It will take time and many resources in order to be successful. COVID-19 has magnified the challenges of those experiencing homelessness. However, we are in a global pandemic and need to provide some form of housing to these individuals. If we utilize these resources, those experiencing homelessness would be able to practice social distancing by quarantining themselves. The outcome? Preventing the spread of COVID-19 amongst our homeless population and saving lives. Signed, Morgan Huffman, Mount Zion. Thumbs up, thumbs down. Thumbs up. to Decatur and Macon County law enforcement. The agencies announced that being masked and armed while under the COVID-19 orders is not a crime. The announcement is common sense. As Decatur Police Deputy Chief Shane Brandel said, as a police officer and a leader in the police department, I would not want officers enforcing that concealed carry laws under those situations. Gun owners and concealed carry permit holders often feel as though they're under attack. This announcement should placate some of their concerns. Thumbs up to Kyle Tomey, owner of the now-closed Hungry Hippo Board Game Cafe. Tomey closed this week, a victim of COVID-19, but Tomey also said he would reimburse any customers for unused punch cards. It's a great and caring business person who continues to be concerned with customers even as their livelihood has vanished. Thumbs down to this week's revelations about the Chinese reaction to COVID-19. To the surprise of few, details are emerging that China's government held back information, misrepresented numbers, and stockpiled medical supplies. They were behaving more like enemy than cooperative entity. We are given examples daily of the negative results of shielding information and the outcome when agreements are broken and forthrightness is shortcoming. It's never good. Why do people continue to think otherwise? Thumbs up to the city of Decatur. The decision to remove discussion of a penalty for those not wearing face masks in public. There may come a time when we'll feel the regulation needs a boost, but implementing a decision about penalties just as the new order is coming into effect feels more like assuming guilt than about public safety. Thumbs up to volunteers. The efforts of those continuing getting up each day and doing things for others is an inspiration and speaks to the spirit of Central Illinois. Whether it's buying food for frontline workers, making sure the less fortunate among us are being tended to, and other important volunteer work, the job they're doing is both admirable and inspiring. And the political cartoon today shows a mother and a daughter sitting on a sofa. Both have computers in front of them, or screens in front of them, and the little girl says, "Mom, don't take this the wrong way, but I hope I can go back to real school next fall." And the mother is thinking, "Me too." And the mother has all kinds of briefcase and papers and work. Back to local and state news. There's a photo with entitled "Extending Help." And it shows Brandon Chappell, the general manager of Country Inn & Suites in Decatur, dropping off gloves and face masks to the Salvation Army. Receiving them is Kyle Karsten, the agency's director of development. Country Inn & Suites has been housing some Salvation Army clients. Mueller facilities close for cleaning. Limited number of employees test positive for virus. Decatur. Mueller Water Products said it is temporarily closing its plant and foundry in Decatur after a very limited number of employees tested positive for COVID-19. Spokesperson Yolanda Kokai said the facilities would be closed Wednesday through Sunday for deep cleaning and sanitizing as a precaution. We are working with the Macon County Health Department to test individuals and conduct contact tracing, Kokai said. The employees who have tested positive and those they have had significant contact with are currently home in isolation with pay and benefits. Public Health Administrator Brandy Binkley said the health department would not confirm the name of any business with cases of COVID-19. In general, she said employers are notified if an employee who tested positive was at work during the determined time period. We provide that information to an appropriate staff member, occupational health nurse, administration, management, etc., and then additional information is obtained regarding contacts so that additional contact tracing and directions to others can be completed, Binkley said in an email. The employer is informed to communicate this information to their staff, keeping the identity of the confirmed case confidential. Kokai said that the company has implemented social distancing and other health guidelines in the past 2 months. The manufacturing plant's new policies have included providing masks that are required while working, on-site temperature monitoring, staggered and flexible work schedules and workflows, alternate break and lunch schedules, enhanced cleaning and disinfecting supplies at employee workstations, and increased common area cleaning and disinfecting. Employee health and safety are critically important to Mueller Water Products, especially in our role as an essential critical infrastructure business during this unprecedented time, Kokai said. The hard work and dedication of our employees make it possible for critical water and gas infrastructures, utilities to continue providing essential, sometimes life-saving services. Mueller has about 600 employees in Decatur, officials have said. The company was founded in Decatur in 1857 by German immigrant Hieronymus Mueller and is now based in Atlanta. The company broke ground in October on a new brass foundry in the 2700 block of North Jasper Street. It also had a foundry on Garfield Avenue and a manufacturing facility on El Dorado Street. The company's foundry in the city makes water and gas transmission products, which are then shipped to other manufacturing facilities, including one in Decatur, for final fabrication. Pregnant woman faces battery charges, Decatur. A pregnant Decatur woman was arrested after police said she battered her boyfriend, bit him, and then kicked an outside door in so she could batter him a second time. A sworn affidavit said the alleged attack happened Sunday afternoon, and Decatur police found and arrested the 19-year-old woman Monday afternoon. Writing in the affidavit, parole officer Paul Vickers said the attack on the 20-year-old boyfriend, who is the father of the woman's unborn child, started just after 1 p.m. Sunday. In quotes, she repeatedly punched and bit him on his chest, added Vickers. Witnesses pulled her off him, stopping the battery. She left the residence, but Vickers said she was back a few moments later, banging on the back door. She successfully kicked the door in, trying to get back inside the residence, Vickers said. Once outside, she again began battering her boyfriend. Vickers said he saw the kicked-in door and also noted the bite mark on the victim's chest. His girlfriend was booked on preliminary charges of home invasion and domestic battery. Preliminary charges are subject to review by the state's attorney's office. A check of Macon County jail records Thursday showed she is now free on bail of $15,000, having posted $1,500 to bond out. Federal funding to help local agencies. Macon County. Macon County has received federal funding to benefit emergency food and shelter programs. The county was awarded a total funding of $122,166 under the Emergency Food and Shelter National Board Program, officials said this week. The funds will be distributed based on decisions from the local board that includes representatives of the American Red Cross, United Way, Catholic Charities, and Salvation Army, and will be distributed to the area's local emergency food and shelter programs. Qualifying agencies are encouraged to apply for funding. Local agencies chosen to receive the money must be voluntary, be private voluntary nonprofits or units of government, be eligible to receive federal funds, have an accounting system, practice non-discrimination, have demonstrated the capability to deliver emergency food and/or shelter programs. If they are a private voluntary organization, they must have a voluntary board. Nonprofits with a voluntary board or units of government, be eligible for federal funds, have an accounting system. This was just outlined above. Practice non-discrimination, have demonstrated the capability to deliver emergency food and shelter programs. Letters of request must be submitted by 5 p.m. Tuesday, May 26th, to Catholic Charities at 247 West Perry Street, Indicator. Zip code is 62523. Again, 62523, or via email to Robin Murray at Murray, M-U-R-R-A-Y, Murray, / DEC at cc.dio.org. Again, that's M-U-R-R-A-Y, underline, DEC at cc.dio.org. First-time agencies applying should call Catholic Charities at 217-428-3458, extension 235, for an application. The number again, 428-3458, extension 235, for an application. Dear Dr. Roach, I read your recent column on intertrigo, a red rash in moist areas where skin rubs together, and had a suggestion that may be helpful. I was having radiation therapy for breast cancer, and the area under my breast was very sore and inflamed. I bought coiled cotton at a beauty supply shop, plain, not reinforced. I would take a section and triple fold it and place it under the breast. It was such a relief. I still use it in warm weather. If the cotton gets damp or wet, it is simple to change it out. Signed, S.R. Answer. I appreciate your writing. Keeping the inflamed area dry is an important part of the treatment. Cotton is very absorbent and will keep skin folds from rubbing against each other. This might help people with intertrigo from many causes, not just the inflammation related to radiation. Dear Dr. Roach, I'm confused. When I go to medical offices, I sometimes am offered an appointment with the physician assistant. I don't want to be seen by just the assistant who takes my blood pressure. How do I make sure I'm seeing a provider who can take care of my problems? Signed, NB. Answer, I think you may be confusing a medical assistant with a physician assistant. Although the names are similar, and although both play an important role in a medical office, a medical assistant takes brief medical histories and vital signs. He or she may also have other valuable clinical and administrative roles, depending on the office. By contrast, a physician's assistant is a licensed clinician who is capable of providing care largely independently, diagnosing and treating the majority of illnesses and chronic conditions in primary care settings while working with a supervising physician. Other PAs work as part of a team in specialty settings, surgery suites, or inpatient hospitals. PAs have extensive training in many ways are very similar to training doctors receive. PAs, physician's assistants, are held to the same standard of care as a physician. And the History Corner photograph, a look back, is from 1984, and it shows seven girls from MacArthur High School go stag to the prom, and it shows Paula Mast, Carla Pronk, Terry Hackert, Tracy Luttrell, Julie Cleary, Jody Payne, and Amanda Kimmons. And many of the girls are in tuxedos and high heels. And one girl's in a long dress, and they have a chauffeur-driven limousine. Dear Abby, perfect dishes, not so perfect. Regarding Recipe for Disaster in Texas, dated February 17th, I have to say I disagreed with your response. Although Michelin won't be rewarding me any stars. I consider myself a good cook, and I strive to make unique, flavorful meals for my family. My husband frequently feels the need to doctor my recipes, and I think it's disrespectful of the time and care I took in preparing the meal. He insists on combining ingredients that don't belong together. He puts cheddar cheese on spaghetti bolognese and ranch dressing on chicken teriyaki. He knows this isn't appropriate, and he would never ask for this modification in a restaurant. Recipe should learn to appreciate that his wife is preparing meals for him. If he can do better, he can take over the cooking. Signed, Flavor Queen of North Carolina. Dear Queen, I enjoyed the responses to that letter about a husband re-seasoning his wife's gourmet meals to her distinct displeasure. Some of the online comments made me chuckle, so I'll share them, too. Read on. Dear Abby, while I was in the military, it was normal to add salt, pepper, and ketchup to everything without tasting it first. The habit has followed me for 50 years, no matter where I am. I tell the host that it's normal for me and to not take it personally. Mac and cheese needs ketchup. Veggies, potatoes, eggs, and watermelon need salt. Most everything needs pepper. For me to taste something, it has to burn my tongue. Signed, Vietnam Vet in Missouri. Dear Abby, that wife sounds like an oversensitive control freak. Personally, I can't handle peppers, but I do like lots of cheese and sour cream on my enchiladas. My wife, who does the majority of the cooking, knows my preferences, so she does me the honor of putting more of that on my enchiladas. I also like to dip my fries into mayo instead of ketchup, so she obliges. This is what we do for people we love. We don't threaten. My way or the highway, bub. Signed, G.S. in Abbeyland. Dear Abby, I laughed when I was told to substitute healthy plain yogurt for sour cream. It never tasted anything like sour cream to me, and then I got some Greek yogurt and realized it works just as well. It's an excellent protein source, and many older adults need more as we age. Now I add plenty without feeling guilty. Signed, Online Lover. Dear Abby, my husband jokes that he has Mexican taste buds, but a white guy stomach. Thank heavens we have separate bathrooms. Signed, CK on the net. Dear Abby, I know when my husband gets out the Tabasco that the meal is not quite to his liking. I don't usually mind because I don't cook just for him. I cook for the entire family. And just for reference, he thinks I'm an amazing cook. Signed, PM on the web. Dear Abby, oh yes, Tabasco sauce. My dad had so much of it in his lifetime, he should have been Michelinie's pitchman. I can see the ad now. Announcer, what do you have Tabasco with? Man, I have it with chili. Woman, I have it with eggs. My dad, I have it with a straw. Signed, Abdict AC. Today's highlights in history. On May 8, 1945, President Harry S. Truman announced on radio that Nazi Germany's forces had surrendered and that flags of freedom fly all over Europe. On May 8, in 1541, Spanish explorer Hernando de Soto reached the Mississippi River. In 1846, the first major battle of the Mexican-American War was fought at Palo Alto, Texas. U.S. forces led by General Zachary Taylor were able to beat back Mexican forces. In 1958, Vice President Richard Nixon was shoved, stoned, and booed and spat upon by anti-American protesters in Lima, Peru. In 1970, anti-war protests took place across the United States and around the world. In New York, construction workers broke up a demonstration on Wall Street. In 1973, militant American Indians who had held the South Dakota hamlet of Wounded Knee for 10 weeks surrendered. And the thought for today, what you see is news. What you know is background, and what you feel is opinion. That's from Lester Markle, American editor, 1894 to 1977. In national news and the Digest, rare inflammatory disease affects kids. Dozens of U.S. children have been hospitalized with a serious inflammatory condition, possibly linked with the coronavirus, and first seen in Europe. New York authorities announced that about 80 potential cases have been reported to the state. A few other U.S. children have been affected during the pandemic, including a six-month-old infant in California diagnosed with COVID-19 and Kawasaki disease, a rare condition that causes swelling in blood vessels. Fever, abdominal pain, and skin rashes are common symptoms, while some other children have developed heart inflammation requiring intensive care. Most had evidence of current or past coronavirus infections. Briefly, Texas. Shelley Luther, owner of a salon a la mode in Dallas, who defied Republican Governor Greg Abbott's emergency orders, was jailed for keeping her business open, walked free Thursday to cheering supporters after the governor weakened his enforcement of coronavirus safeguards, and a court ordered her released. White House. A member of the military serving as one of President Donald Trump's valets tested positive for the coronavirus, the White House said Thursday. It said Trump and Vice President Mike Pence since tested negative for the virus. California. Governor Gavin Newsom issued the broadest loosening of his stay-at-home order so far, allowing some retailers to open but not have customers in stores. The announcement was the result of improvements in battling the coronavirus, and it moves California into the second phase of a four-step process to reopening. Immigration. More people will die of the coronavirus in the U.S. immigration custody unless the Trump administration rapidly improves conditions and releases more detainees. Lawyers and advocates warned following the first confirmed virus-related death of a detainee. Pentagon. Venturing beyond Washington for the first time since March, Defense Secretary Mark Esper got updated Thursday in Colorado Springs, Colorado, on the military's coronavirus battle plan and declared the Pentagon ready for any new wave of infections. Michigan. Governor Gretchen Whitmer said auto and other manufacturing workers can return to the job next week, further easing her stay-at-home order while extending it through May 28th. Ohio. Bars and restaurants can fully open on May 21st with outside dining allowed. A few days earlier, on May 15th, Governor Mike DeWine said barbershops, hair salons, nail salons, and day spas will also open on May 15th. Alaska. Gyms, pools, and bars will be allowed to open with limitations starting Friday, today, under the next phase of that state's plan to reopen parts of the economy. Oklahoma. Three McDonald's employees in Oklahoma City suffered gunshot wounds when a customer opened fire because she was angry that the restaurant's dining area was closed because of the pandemic, police said. Some restaurants reopened in Mississippi and their dining rooms and patios as Governor Tate Reeves eased restrictions throughout the state. That's all we have time for this Friday, May 8th, 2020 edition of the Decatur Herald and Review. This is Barbara Ridenour. Have a pleasant week and weekend and week to follow. Happy Mother's Day to the mothers out there. I look forward to reading with you again soon. Stay safe, stay healthy.